Well, the way that's going to happen is get God's attention. Number two, very simple. Just keep pushing on. Just keep pushing on. Just keep pressing on. Now, let me say this tonight. Everybody in this room has been hurt by somebody. Can I have amen? You've either been done wrong. Listen, I pastored for years and years, and so many times kids came in, been violated and everything. Broken hearts, broken lives, can't trust anybody. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We live in a wicked generation. People are being hurt all the time. People have been turned against. People, can I say tonight, there's going to be problems. There's going to be hurts that come in your life. But I'll tell you what gets God's attention is a Christian that just keeps pushing on. Can I tell you tonight that a Christian life is a pressing thing? Can I have amen? I didn't say the Christian life is a depressing thing. I said the Christian life is a pressing. If you don't believe me, what did Paul say? I'm pressed towards the mark. Sometimes you just got to push on. And sometimes you're going to get hurt. Sometimes things are not going to go your way. But I'll tell you what, it gets God's attention when He sees a Christian that's hurting and the things have come not been fair in life to them, but they just keep pushing on. They just keep pushing on. They just keep pushing on. And God says, I like that. Amen. I like that kind of Christian. I played football 9 years. I love football. I love football. Oh, I love football. You say, preacher, do you love football? I love football. I love to see the broken noses. I love to hear the bones crack. I love to see the blood. I mean, I love to see somebody get creamed. Man. I'm like Brother Howes was about boxing, remember? He said, Brother Howes said, Brother Howes, you think boxing ought to be legal? She said, I sure do. It ought to be. He said, but as long as they have it on, I'm going to watch it. Amen. But I love to see, man, I love to see the bone break. I mean, I love to see them get creamed. I love to see them. And it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. Unless it's me. Can I have amen? But I played 9 years of football. We played this team in high school. His name, it was East Rowan. East Rowan had a running back named Rick Van Hoy. Rick Van Hoy weighed 240 pounds. He could run the 40 in like 4.6, 4.7. He was unbelievable. He went and played for North Carolina. He was unbelievable running back. Well, we played him in first half. We were losing 28-7. We were losing 28-7. During the first half, they run a play. Some of you knows football, what I'm about to say. Some of you don't, just act like you do. Amen. But there's a play, and I played defensive tackle. I played defensive nose guard, tackle nose guard. I weighed about 300 pounds. But anyway, when I was in high school, and I was a big boy, and benched about 450 pounds. I was a bulk. But I remember we played the East Rowan, and the guy in front of me is supposed to be blocking me to keep me from getting the quarterback or whoever's got the ball. Okay, everybody understand that? Well, what happened was there's a play called a pulling guard. Who knows what a pulling guard is? All right, a few of you do. The guy in front of me, he's the guard. I was playing over the guard at this time. He is to block me and keep me from getting to the guy with the football. All of a sudden, when the ball's high, he takes one step back and just takes off down the line and leaves my hole open. And nobody's there to block me. And I see the quarterback with the ball. And I go, I'm going to flatten you. Amen. I'm going to hurt you. Amen. And love every minute of it. Amen. I took off into that hole that was open. And when I run in there, not knowing an offensive end's coming down from this way. He's coming from this way, not expecting it. And when he did, he hit me. He hit me and knocked my helmet up on my head. My helmet literally came up on my head up here. No protection in my face. They handed the ball off to Rick Van Hoy, 240-pound running back. He hit me right here with his helmet. He just running full speed, hit me right here. He broke my nose. My nose is broke. My teeth are loose. My shoulders broke. I mean, my arm was literally hanging. It was hanging. And by the way, it hurt. It hurt. I mean, it really hurt. And so I go to the sideline. Coach Dill was my coach. Coach Dill was a drill sergeant in the Army. I go running to the coach and I said, "Coach, my nose is broke. I said, my teeth are loose. I said, my shoulders broke." And it wasn't broke, it was dislocated. But I thought it was broke. It was in pain. And I said, "Coach, what am I going to do?" And I'll never forget. All of a sudden, my coach did this. He said, "How many fingers I got up?" I said, "2. He said, "Get back in there. You're all right." Now, today, that coach couldn't coach, J.B. And I went back and played the rest of that game with a broken nose, busted teeth, and a shoulder hanging. I played the rest of that game. Can I tell you something? We came back. We won that game 32-28. We came back. I remember we were so excited we threw the coaches in the shower after the game. Matter of fact, I wanted to drown my coach. Amen. Amen. But I went to the hospital that night, and sure enough, I had a dislocated shoulder. They had to do a special, put me to sleep and reset my shoulder. But can I tell you something? That's the way the Christian life is. Sometimes you're going to get hit from the side. You're not going to expect. Things are going to come in life, and somebody's going to do you wrong, or the devil's going to come along and sideswap you when you're not expecting it. But I'm going to tell you what, the real test of a Christian, buddy, is somebody can get back up and just keep on going for God. Just keep on going for God. And what's going to happen is you're going to get God's attention, amen, when you get back up when you're wounded. My, I will tell you, there was times, buddy, in that hospital when I looked over at my sweetheart, and I believed that I was hurting so bad looking at her suffering, her bones broke, just unbelievable. Her body was bruised from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet from cancer beating her body up. And I'd look at there and I say, oh God, help us, God, help us. And I believe, but I said, and then I wouldn't have the strength, but some nurse would come in or somebody come in and I'd win them to Jesus Christ. And God said, "Hey, you're getting my attention now, buddy. You're going to keep on preaching. You're going to keep on winning souls. When it hurts, when it hurts, when it hurts, you're going to get God's attention." Amen. When you keep pushing on for God. And then let me say this, number three, I believe that if you want to get God's attention tonight, the Bible says, and because of time, I'll move quickly through this one, but I could stay a long time, but you must follow and worship Him with fear and trembling. You know, there comes a time in life that God just wants you to know that you can't do anything without Him. Can I have amen? This lady wouldn't have ever been healed if it wasn't for God. Amen? I think God wants us to come to that point in our life that we can't do anything without God. He must decrease and He must increase, I must decrease. Amen. Until we get to the point. You know, I was sitting there in the hospital one day and I felt like, "God, I need you so bad." And I began to sing. I was sitting there looking out the window in the hospital room and I began to sing, "I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I was sitting there singing that. And all of a sudden, I didn't know of a sweet little nurse who slipped in. And she was behind me. I was singing that song. She said, Pastor, are you okay? I turned around. I said, are you okay? She said, why? Because I said, you just heard me sing. She said, Pastor. She said, you know what? She said, I heard you singing that song. That I need Thee. She said, I need Him too. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? She said, no, I don't know that. I said, come over here and let me show you what the Bible says. And I sat there and led that precious nurse to Jesus Christ. You know what? You can't do anything without God. You need Him. You need Him. Amen. You know how powerful God is? We are nothing. We are nothing but dust to God. But we need Him. Can I have amen? And when you need God, you get His attention. You get His attention. Then number four. And I'm done. This is the last one. And by the way, can I say this tonight? That this point that I'm about to give you, God give me this truth. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll get a hold of this point, I guarantee you, listen to me, I guarantee you it will transform your church. Are you ready? Are you ready? How many of you want to get God's attention tonight? Don't you want to get God? Don't you want to see revival? Don't you want to see God do more? Amen. When that lady was trying to get to Jesus, listen to me. When that lady was trying to get to Jesus, boy, this is a great truth if you'll get a hold of it. Before she could touch Jesus, before she could get to Jesus and touch Him, are you ready? She had to touch other people first. Let me tell you what's going to get God's attention tonight. Is when you become a church consumed with touching other people. And once you get caught up with touching other people, can I tell you something? You're going to get God's attention tonight. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Years ago, I just want to talk to you now. Years ago, when I was a young assistant pastor, a preacher called me and said, Brother Brian, said, would you go with me to visit this 83-year-old Catholic woman? She was 83 years old. She died with cancer. She got cancer. He said, would you go with me to visit her? I said, yes, I'd be glad to. Be glad to. And before he hung up, he made this comment. Listen to what I'm about to say. He made this comment. He said, now, I'll be honest with you. He said, I really don't have time to go. But he said, because I'm busy, but I'm going to go anyway. And when he said that, it just didn't hit me right. It just didn't, you know what I'm saying? It didn't register right with me that he said that. But I brushed it off. Thought, well, maybe it's just a statement he made. On the way there, as we were riding in the car, he kept saying, boy, I'm so busy. He said, I really didn't have time to do this today. He said, but one of my members wanted me to do it, so I'm doing it for them. And I said, boy, that don't sound right. Looks like you'd want to go because you want to help this lady. Well, we got there, and once we got there, you could tell he's rushing the conversation. Every once in a while you see him look at his watch like, I gotta go. Well, finally in a few minutes he said, okay. He said, ma'am, he said, look, he didn't ask her, are you saved? Do you know you're going to heaven or anything like that? He said, ma'am, look, I've got to go. I'm busy. He said, but I'm going to have a word of prayer with you before I go. She said, okay. She said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, sure. She said, before you pray with me, would you hold my hand? Would you hold my hand? And I'll never forget this pastor. This pastor said this. He said, "Ma'am, I don't hold other ladies' hands." He said, "We're fundamentalists." I didn't like that. So all of a sudden, I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I'll hold your hand." Now listen, this woman's 83 years old, dying with cancer. I may have a lot of problems, but I ain't going to run off with an 83-year-old woman. Something ain't right. Amen. And I was young then. And I wouldn't do it now. Amen. I love you, old women, but, you know, God bless the wrinkles. Amen. I can't help. Amen. But, hey, listen. I ain't going to run off with old woman tonight. That's a weird individual think that way. So I said, "Ma'am, I'll hold your hand." So I reached over and I took that sweet little old Catholic, as sweet as she could be. I took that little sweet lady's hand and patted her on the back of the hand. Well, when I did that, the priest said, "Well, why don't you pray with her then?" I said, I will. So I began to pray, and I said, "God, I pray that God," and I began to pray for this dear, sweet, little old Catholic lady. And right in the middle of the prayer, I stopped, and I said, "Ma'am, I got to ask you a question." I said, "If you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die?" And I'll never forget what that little Catholic lady said. She said, "That's why I called you." And I went through the gospel with that little sweet old Catholic lady, and she bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. Now let me ask you a question. What do you think made the difference? You know what I believe it was? The touch. You know what I'm afraid of in our churches today? We're out of touch. I believe the King James Bible, old King James Bible. I believe our boys need to cut their hair right. I believe girls need to wear their dresses right and do it right. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. God came to save old sinners. Amen. God just came to save sinners tonight and care about those that are poor and dying and going to hell tonight and need help tonight. God wants us to be in touch tonight as a church. I'm going to tell you something. I've been soul winning for 37 years, and I don't know of one week I haven't led somebody to Jesus Christ. I believe in it. I was going to preach at Brother Petrich's church up there. This was right before we had just found out my wife didn't have long to live. And I stopped at highway, I was coming on 94 across Michigan there. And at exit 12, right there before you get into Indiana, there's a Popeye's chicken. I love Popeye's chicken. I love Popeye's chicken and football. Amen. And I stopped in there, buddy, and I like it spicy. Amen. Don't give me this mild junk. Amen. I want it so hot that it'll kill whatever's not supposed to be in you. Amen. Amen. And buddy, I was sitting there, my tongue was slapping me down. I was eating chicken. Had grease all upside my head, everything, buddy. I was tearing it up. Red beans and rice. You know what I like to do? I like to take that red beans and rice. And now this is scriptural. Listen. And I like to take that red beans and rice and take buy those jalapeno peppers and bite the end off and squeeze the juice in them red beans. Oh, man, that's so good. It'll make you slap your grandma. Amen. It's good. Amen. And I sit there. And I'm going to tell you, so I was sitting there eating there, and all of a sudden I looked up across the aisle there. There was a lady sitting there with a cancer banner on her head, you know, one of those big scarf on her head. And she had a cancer scarf around her head. And the Holy Spirit, while I was sitting there, by the way, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you can win a lot of people to Christ. If you listen to it. And I looked over and the Holy Spirit said, look at her, that lady's got cancer. Why don't you go over there and pray with her? And I was sitting there. And I said, okay, Lord, can I eat one more piece of chicken? No. And I was sitting there. And when I got done, well, I wiped up, took naps, wiped up, had a stack of naps. But I wiped up and everything else. I walked over there, and that lady, her husband, two small junior kids, size kid, looked like about 8, 9, 10 years old, boy and a girl. I walked over there, and I said, ma'am, my name's Craig Bryan, Brother Craig Bryan. I said, I'm a preacher, I'm an evangelist. I'm traveling to preach over Milwaukee area, and I said, I'm heading that way. I said, I was sitting there, and God told me, I saw the cancer scarf you had on. By the way, I'm not glad she had cancer, but I'm glad she did, because that'd be embarrassing, you know, go up to somebody and say, you look like you got cancer, and don't, you know, but it's kind of like walking up a pregnant lady, when's your baby due? I'm not pregnant, but anyway, you know. But anyway, so I walked up, and I said, ma'am, God told me to come over here and pray with you. I went over there, and I took her by the hand. I said, look, can I pray with you? And I said, I know what you're going through right now. I said, I know exactly what. I said, my wife is dying with cancer. We just found out about a week ago. There's nothing they can do for my wife. She's got bone cancer. This lady had breast cancer. I sat there. I said, ma'am, I said, God told me to come over here and pray with you. I know exactly what you feel right now. I put my hand on the husband's shoulder. I looked at him. I said, sir, I know exactly what you're thinking. I said, you're probably wondering, when is it going to happen? Is she going to live? Is she going to die? He shook his head. He said, you're exactly right. I looked at the kids, two little precious kids. Unless God does a miracle, they're not going to have a mama within a year or two. I looked at those kids. I said, kids, I know exactly what you're thinking. I said, I know exactly you're wondering if you're going to lose your mama, or you're very insecure about things right now because mom and dad are always going to the doctor or going places and having to leave y'all. Those little kids shut their head. All of a sudden, I saw one, the little girl, a little tear more stuck beside her. I said, ma'am, I came over here because I wanted to pray with you. God told me to come pray with you. Would you mind if I have a word of prayer with you? She said, oh, no, please. I said, let me have your hand. I took her hand. I took the husband by the hand. The little kids got around right there, and we all held hands in Popeye's chicken. I prayed. I began to pray for these precious. God broke my heart while I prayed with them. I couldn't hardly hold it back because I knew what they were feeling. I told the kids, even told the kids, that there was many nights I held my kids in my own arms and wept. Because they didn't know when mom or dad was going, or their mom's going to live or die. I prayed with these kids. In the middle of the prayer, I always do this. I stopped and I looked at the mom. I said, Mom, can I ask you a question? I said, if you died right now, do you know for sure? Are you 100% for sure you go to heaven? Listen to what she told me. She said, every night when I lay my head down, I wonder, where am I going when I die? The husband was lost, the children were not saved, and right there I led the whole family to Jesus Christ and Popeyes. What was it? What made the difference? The touch. The touch. I was at a Cracker Barrel. I have all kinds of restaurant ministries. All kinds. I was in a And by the way, I'll be glad to join your restaurant ministry today, amen. But I was, if you'll buy, pay for it. But I was at a Cracker Barrel. And I was sitting there, and a lady came to the The lady came to the table there, brought our food. Pastor saw how I did it yesterday. But lady brought her food to the table, and I said, ma'am, we're getting ready to ask the Lord to bless the food. Is there anything you'd like for us to pray for you about? You'd be surprised how that opens the door, because everybody's going through a rough time somewhere. She looked at me and tears began to well up in her eyes. She said, yes. She said, pray for my 17-year-old daughter. 2 days ago, she ran away from home. I don't know if she's dead or alive. She said, and you could see the rings under this mama's eyes where she hadn't slept in several days, and she had to go to work too. And she said, I've been coming to work and then going home, and the police are out looking for my daughter now. I reached over and took that lady by the hand. You say, you shouldn't do that, preacher. We're fundamentalists. There's our problem. I reached over and took that sweet lady by the hand. I said, ma'am, by the way, I did this when my wife was living too. She saw me do it all the time. And I reached out and took her by the hand. I said, let me pray with you. I prayed with that dear lady. Tears just fell. When we got done, she brought, after we were done praying with her and stuff, I gave her a good tip, gave her a gospel tract, gave her a tip, and I said, Rexanne, I want to ask you a question now. A very important question. I said, if you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? You know what she said? I'd go straight to hell, preacher. Right there, I led that lady to Jesus Christ. She got down on her knees in Cracker Barrel, in the middle of Cracker Barrel, and prayed out loud in front of everybody and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. I see it every week. I see it all the time. Now, let me tell you something. You know what the difference is? You know what our problem is? We're out of touch. They're out there. They're ready. Can I have amen? People need to be saved. And if you want to get God's attention tonight, if you want to get God's attention tonight, then be a church that's in touch with people and that cares about people and cares about every individual that you come across. You're trying to win them to Christ and tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And God's going to look down and He says, I like that old boy. I like that lady. She cares. He cares about souls dying and going to hell. I was today. I went back to the room, and I walk. I've been walking every day because I go to too many restaurant ministries. But I battled diabetes, and I was walking today. So I went down to the exercise room. I was walking. A guy was on the bicycle. We got to talking. He said, hey, what are you doing here? I said, I'm preaching. He said, what are you preaching about? I said, I'm telling people how they can go to heaven when they die. He said, really? He said, what is that all about? I said, well, he said, what do you preach when you tell people to go into heaven? I said, well, first of all, I preach that they're sinners and that we're all sinners and we've all done things wrong. And I preached and told them about being a sinner. Then I went down to what the payment of sin is. And I said, I preach about that. He said, what else you preach about? And then I preached about how that you deserve to go to hell, but Jesus paid for all your sin. And when I got down through telling him what I preach about, I asked him, I said, let me ask you, does that make sense to you? He said, it sure does. I said, you going to heaven when you die? He said, no. I said, well, did you hear what I just said? He said, yeah. I said, cut your mic off. I'll come up. And we got down and prayed in that exercise room. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You say, preacher, you really believe that works? Yeah, it works. Can I have amen? I believe tonight that if you're going to get God's attention tonight, you got to be a church that cares about people, cares about people, cares about every individual. You know, look, you've got to get the point that I'm going to get God's attention and I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to care about people every day. I'm going to be getting the gospel out, praying for people, loving people, caring about people. I'm going to pour the rest of my life into caring about souls dying and going to hell. That's what this church is all about. Can I have amen? And if you lose that, you will not have God's attention. But why don't you decide you're going to be an individual that goes about touching everybody you can? I could tell you thousands of stories. I could tell you thousands of stories of people I've won to Christ. But can I tell you this? My wife, I was when I was at University of Michigan Hospital, I wanted to. My wife was very sick. And I wanted the head maintenance guy to the Lord. I wanted him to the Lord. One day I called him in. I was in the bathroom. By the way, that's a good place to go. Amen. I went. I was in the bathroom there. And it's a great place to read. Amen. So I was sitting there. And all of a sudden I looked over and there's the pamphlet holders on the dividers there. And they had hospital information in there. And I said, look at there. They put track racks up here at University of Michigan Hospital. And so what I did is I called the head maintenance guy. He was head of the whole University of Michigan Hospital. He came in. I led him to Christ. He came in. His name was Jim. I said, Jim, I need you to do something for me. He said, what is it, preacher? I said, I need a map of where all the bathrooms are at University of Michigan Hospital. He said, preacher, he said, you go that much? I said, just shut up and get the map. And you smart out. I said, get the map. And then I told him what I was going to do. He got me a map that was over 100 bathrooms at University of Michigan Hospital. So what I did is I took a big box. Every week when I go back to my church, I get a big box of stock up my box. It would take me almost a whole day to go bathroom to bathroom and stock up those racks with gospel tracts. By the way, can you imagine people seeing me go to bathroom, amen? And that poor fellow, amen? But I go, And so I was putting gospel tracts in there. One day I came in there and there was a black boy standing there with a gospel tract in his hand. I'm almost done. The gospel tract. He was reading that gospel tract. So I stood back. I just kind of stood back and watched him. When he got to the prayer part, I saw him bow his head and receive Christ as his Savior. When he got done, I went so tapped him on the shoulder. I said, hey, son, he turned around. He had the biggest smile. I mean, that boy could smile. He had the biggest smile on his face. And he said, I said, did you read that gospel tract? He said, I sure did. I said, did you pray that prayer? He said, I sure did. I said, you mean it with your heart? I sure did. I said, where are you going now when you die? He said, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I got a brain tumor. He said, I got a brain tumor. He's 12 years old. I got a brain tumor and I got cancer in my spine. He said, they give me 8 months to live. He said, but that's okay. I'm going to heaven now. I'm going to heaven. And that boy, he said, I'm going to go tell my mama. I'm going to go tell my mama I'm going to heaven now. And he started walking out, and I'll never forget. I said, hey, wait a minute. I said, look at that track. Turn it over. It had my name on it. I said, you know who that is? He said, no, who? I said, that's me. He didn't care. He walked out. Amen. Man, he didn't care. He got the greatest name of all, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight, church? You want to get God's attention, then you better get back in touch with people. And you better just start caring about people. My life, my sweetheart's in heaven. My sweetheart's gone. I have nothing to live for now but my God. And I want to spend the rest of my life bringing people to Jesus Christ. I just want to go to the next person. I don't care about the thousands. I just want to go to that next person. God loves you. And He'll save you just like you are. Son, if you died right now, you know where you're going? Where? I don't believe it. No. You don't look saved. Amen. I just want to go next verse. I just want to go next person. Touch them. Help them. Well, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. What can I do for you? God loves you. Let me pray with you. Let me help you. What can I do? Oh, your mama's got cancer. Something's going wrong. Oh, God, help her. You know what our problem is? We're too busy. We're too busy with our own worries, with our own cares, and our own problems. My problem's bigger than your problem. That's what we say. Can I have amen? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know. Hey, at least you're saved. At least you're saved, amen. At least you're going to heaven tonight. Hey, if you're saved, praise the Lord. You got a lot to rejoice about tonight, amen. Hey, I believe tonight that this church needs to get God's attention again. Looks like there's a lot of people around here. Can I have amen? And all they need is somebody like you to care. Some little old lady tonight's going to die with cancer. There's somebody. And go to hell. There's somebody cares about. Somebody's daughter is broken tonight. Some young teenager's broken tonight. Somebody's hurting tonight. Where are you tonight? Don't you want to get God's attention? Can I have amen? Let's stand our feet tonight. I'm going to ask you, no talking, please. But I want to ask you tonight, who'd say in here tonight, preacher, I do not know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone at all, preacher, I do not know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I do not know that. Would you slip your hand up? We'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Is there anyone at all? Anyone at all? Now I want to ask you this. I want you to put your faith in action tonight. How many of you would say, preacher, tonight I want to get God's attention tonight. I want to be a Christian and get God's attention. Would you slip your hand up tonight? Oh my. Oh my. You need a miracle tonight? You need God to bring revival tonight. You need God to do something tonight. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Remember, I don't want you to stand there. All right? I don't want you to stand there and say, I believe God's going to do something. Put some action to your faith tonight. Put some action to your faith tonight. Come to this altar. Don't just stand there and say, well, I believe that God's going to do, No. Don't go there. The altar was in the Bible for a reason. And God has put, you have, as a church, put an altar here for a reason tonight. And I believe there's a lot of Christians in this room tonight that needs to mean business with God tonight. And say, God, I need to get your attention tonight. I need your help. I need your power. God, tonight, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to push through the crowd. I'm going to get to the altar. And I'm going to mean business with God. I say, instrument, begin to play tonight. Come right now, right now. God spoke to your heart tonight. Come. Many folks are coming tonight. Many folks are coming. Maybe tonight you've let up in your soul winning. You've let up. You're not used to be a soul winner, but you're not a soul winner now. There's room up here if you want to come on up. used to be a soul winner, but now you don't go soul winning. Now you don't pass out gospel tracts. Now you don't tell other people about Jesus. But you need God's attention about some things. How are you going to get God's attention? I believe tonight.